Now, Dan, come and share with us.
Cam promised me a boxer's or wrestler's introduction, but I think maybe he was bluffing. He even asked my weight, said I was undefeated. I said, does 0-0 count as undefeated? I guess so. I'm actually going to be speaking out of the same passage that Pastor Ryan taught out of. As you'll see, there is so much compacted into this section of Scripture, and Ryan did a great job teaching on what I think is probably the most important aspect out of that, the parable of the soil, the different soils, and the seed falls on those, and he did a great job on that. I'm going to focus on a section from this that's actually bothered me a lot, and I've had to keep going back to it and saying, how do I resolve this with my own faith and what I believe and what I think? So we're going to look at this section of Scripture again. So I apologize for that, but I really think it will help us to have it fresh in our mind, and we're going to look at a whole bunch of different pieces from it. So I think we kind of need to get back to read the whole section. I know Kobe just did a Scripture reading, but I'm going to ask you to do another one with me in Mark chapter 4. So if you would turn there and you're phone or your Bible, we're going to look at that. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 34. The title for this message is called, Do You Have Ears? It really should probably, Do You Have Ears to Hear? But I thought, Do You Have Ears? Was kind of more fun and maybe a little bit funny. So read with me, Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some of it fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables, and he told them, The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes along and takes it away, the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. He said to them, Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. He also said, This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know why. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. And again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. There is a lot in that section. We could probably do 12 sermons from different pieces of that, right? The teachings of Jesus are so rich. In Sunday school class this morning, Kobe was teaching out of the Sermon on the Mount, and the same thing. I mean, every few sentences is a thought that you could dwell on and go deeper in and think about. The same thing with this section here. A couple things, a few observations I want to point out that you may or may not have noticed through there that are just interesting. One is we have a section of prophecy quoted. Depending on how your Bible is formatted, you may have seen that kind of broken out or in italics or a section, but we have something there from Isaiah chapter 6, 3 through 10 quoted on the having ears to hear and hearing but not understanding or seeing but not perceiving. So we have a prophecy that Jesus is bringing into this and referencing. We have a contrast that Jesus draws with two kinds of parables about seed and soil. We have the one that we heard the message on before, where the seed is scattered on different soils, and some of it does well and some of it doesn't. And then a little bit later, we have another parable where Jesus talks about the farmer scattering seed, and the seed kind of just does its own thing, right? It says the farmer puts it out, and whatever he does, day or night, he gets up, he sleeps, but the seed does its thing. And there's kind of a contrast there, because in one story, how much crop comes is dependent upon what? The soil, right? The heart of the man that the seed is spread to. So kind of dependent on us. And then in the other parable, Jesus makes it clear it doesn't have very much to do with the people. It's the power of the seed, the miracle of the seed and what it does. Saying, well, that's kind of dependent on the seed or God, his design. And so we see a little bit referenced as man has a part, God has a part. So we see that contrast drawn with some of those parables. That's another sermon. We also see kind of a contrast, or at least a acknowledgement that there is both the mundane and the ordinary in something like a seed, and there is the miracle in something like a seed. What's more common than a seed, right? For hundreds, thousands of years, people have been planting seeds. It happens all the time. Most of the food we eat came from some kind of seed. It's everywhere. But when we think about it, this tiny little dried up speck, and we take it and we throw it in the dirt outside, and leave it there, and out of it sprouts life and something that grows and becomes big and produces fruit that feeds us again. That's miraculous, right? It's both the ordinary, normal, and the miraculous. A baby, right? All of us are pretty familiar with births, right? All of you were involved with at least one birth. I can guarantee that, right? It's mundane, it's ordinary, it happens all the time. But what is more miraculous than one human growing another human inside them and the birth of a new life? So we see that referenced here a little bit too with the seeds. That's another sermon. We're not going to do that one today either. And then finally, we see the part that I am going to dwell on today. And that's some of this reference between the insiders and the outsiders here in this passage of Scripture. I don't know if you caught that, but there are several references through here that are for the people on the inside and then what's shared with the people on the outside. And this is what bothers me, and I've had a hard time with. Can you go to my next slide up here, Paul? So here's my question. Is Jesus' message meant to be cryptic and exclusive? Cryptic as in coded, hidden, and exclusive as for some, but not for others. What? Doesn't sound like Jesus to me. That doesn't mesh with a lot of the other things Jesus said. But look at some of the verses from what we've just read. Verse 2 says, and he was teaching them many things in parables. Well, okay, we know that parables are a way of teaching and learning, but we also know that parables isn't just coming out and saying it either. It's telling a story to get the lesson, and you have to kind of draw conclusions from the story. And then verse 10 and 11 kind of back that up even more. When he was alone with those around him, with the 12 asked him about the parables. This tells me even the people that were spending 24 hours a day with Jesus didn't really get what he was saying in these stories. They had to ask, right? So he's teaching in stories, and even the ones closest to him are going, that seed thing, whoa, where were you going with that? If the disciples were asking that, how about the crowd that heard it? Okay, seed, soil, yeah, that helps me with my farming, but what are you teaching, Rabbi? What do we take out of this? How about the next one? And he said to them, you have been given the secret. This is to the disciples. This is to those on the inside. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. For those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, hear but not understand. And this is the part that really gets me. Lest they should turn and be forgiven. That would be horrible, right? If I preach to the crowd, they hear me, they repent, and they turn and are forgiven. We don't want that. Jesus, this doesn't make sense to me. And then finally, verse 33, 34. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately, with his own disciples, he explained everything. Do you see why I'm bothered? It's hard. I'm like, what is going on here? It reminds me a lot of a youth group game we played. And I went to youth group over on the other side of the river, other side of the tracks, Cedar Road Missionary Church instead of California Road Missionary Church. And we played this game that was horrible. I hope they didn't play it here at California Road. But the youth pastor met with a couple of kids, maybe three, and kind of told them the secret, the plan, and then he had the rest of us come into the room one at a time. So by the time I went into the room, there were maybe eight or nine in there already, and I come into the room, and they have me come and stand in the middle of the circle, and then they do this chant, we are the Addams family, we are the Addams family. If you want to join the Addams family, perform until we applaud for you. What? And then they did it again, and you stand there, and you feel really weird and awkward. Has anybody done this game? Have you experienced this? Okay, good. It's horrible. And you start to say, guys, I don't understand, and they all mimic you. Guys, I don't understand. And then they all do this. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And you just get more exasperated and you feel it. And then there's a way to solve it. Any of you get that? What do you do to join the Addams family? Stephen's got it. perform until they applaud you. If you applaud yourself, then they mimic your applause, and then you're part of the Addams family, and they call in the next poor sap. There was one girl who was pretty much in tears. I mean, she's like, guys, what are you doing? So, Greg, this is not an idea for youth group. Don't do this. But this is a little bit of the feeling. None of us like to be an outsider, right? We don't like that. We want to be on the inside. We want to be in the know and part of things. And I just wonder how some of these people that heard Jesus' parables, if they didn't kind of walk away scratching their heads, going, I know he's a powerful teacher. I'm drawn to him. These stories have meaning, but I just don't get it. I wonder. There's a few things that help me as I think about this that at least make it a little bit better or maybe a little easier to palate. One is that there was a prophecy to be fulfilled. We know that Christ came to fulfill. And so we have this from Isaiah about that the people will hear and not understand. They will see and not perceive. That there will be some cloudiness to what they receive. So there's a prophecy to be fulfilled. That helps me a little bit. We know a couple other things. We know this is something that we tend to forget. In order for God's perfect plan to redeem us to happen, Jesus had to be crucified, right? The perfect lamb had to be crucified. Well, if everybody who heard Jesus through his ministry thought he was amazing and immediately repented and turned, he would have been a hero, and everybody would have loved him, and Jerusalem never would have chosen to crucify him. So there had to be something where everybody didn't just immediately jump on the bandwagon and follow Jesus and think he was the greatest, because otherwise he would not have been crucified. Okay, that helps me a little bit. He left them with stories that they would remember and reconsider later, right? That is part of the parable teaching. We can remember stories a lot better than we remember statements and conclusions. And so, while they may not have grasped the meaning of some of those things at the time, he left them with stories that they could keep going back to. Remember when he said this? Remember the story and the lost coin. Remember the story of the lost lamb or the talents. So he did leave that with him. And not only did he leave them the stories, but he left them the keys and the answers to those stories with his disciples, right? There were people hearing Jesus' explanation. So he left the way for them to be taught and kind of those hidden things to be unlocked in the future. So those things all help me. They don't quite solve it, but they do help me a little bit. We have to remember that God's timing is perfect and ours isn't. So a lot of times things that we wish happened in a certain way in a time, God has a different timetable for, right? We see that all the time in our own lives and things we want him to do right now, but maybe he knows are better if they don't happen for a while yet. We know that his ways are not our ways. But that's not enough for me. I need some more here. So let's look at some other things from this passage. Can you go to my second slide? We do have some contrast to what was shared in those other things, in those other verses. And these are some of them. Verse 3, Jesus pleads with them, listen. Now, I'm going to come back to this. I don't think this was just kind of a, hey, everybody, listen up. I think this was a pleading of Jesus to say, guys, please listen to this. Later you see, he says, pay attention. Verse 9, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. This doesn't sound like somebody that doesn't want the people to understand. He's pleading with them to listen. He's saying, let them hear. And then This really helps. Verses 23-25, nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, to be shown. Nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. These things are kind of in contrast with what we just heard. The other was about secrets and don't let them understand and keep it from them, kind of an us and them. But this doesn't sound like that. Why would he be preaching at all and to a crowd and asking them, please listen, dig in here, if he doesn't want them to understand anything? So the question here, how do we make these fit with the ones before? There's a couple things. We know that Jesus pleaded with people to listen. We know that the bar was set pretty low. The qualification was either to have ears to hear or to be... So there's two ways we can look at that, right? You have these fleshy things on the side of your head that are capable of receiving sound waves, okay? That's one way to say you have ears to hear, all right? The other way is to say you have ears to hear. It means you're giving your ears to actually receive and try to understand. So you're trying to understand. So whichever way Jesus meant it, you have ears to hear, or you have ears to hear. Either way, that's a pretty low bar. Anybody that wants to can have those ears to hear and receive the message. That's helpful. So he's trying to make it open to everyone. And then he promises that things will not stay hidden. So this verse up here, verses 23-25, for nothing is hidden except to be shown later, nor is it secret except to come to light. So he's promising that if it is concealed for now, it won't always be. It's going to be made light. But I think the kicker, the thing that helps make it okay for me, comes in verse 24 and 25, where he says this, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. I think this is the key to the whole passage that solves it for me. Let me tell you what I mean, but first, let me tell you my first impression of this is that it's horrible. It's more of the same, right? Like, can you imagine this happening in our children's church right now? Kids, we're gonna focus on a lesson of Jesus today. So I have some M&Ms, and we're going to give a handful to Andy, and we're going to give a handful to Silas, and Lydia, you don't get any. I'm sorry. And we go around the circle like that. And then we say, okay, now we're going to follow the lesson of Jesus. And he says, those who have will get more. So Andy, here's some more for you. Silas, here's some more. Lydia, I'm sorry, Jesus says, what you have will get taken. So do you have anything to give the others, Lydia? What would she do, Hannah? Cry. And say, I love Jesus, but I don't like what he taught here. You know, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem to match. There's so many other scriptures where Jesus is saying, the poor, give to them. Those without, help them. Why would he say it this way? Well, there's one other place I can think of where he taught something similar to this, where the people with little got it taken and the people with more got more added. Do you remember what parable that would be? The talents, right? The one with 10 who invested it well got more. And the one with 5 who did pretty well got some more. And the one with 1 who just buried it and did nothing with it, he even had his one taken from him. Why? Because they had a choice about what they were doing with it, all right? And some were choosing to use it or not. When this says, pay attention to what you hear, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. I always read it again like, hey, everybody, pay attention. This is important. The statement is, with the measure you use, I don't think that's it. I might be wrong, but I don't think that's it. I think they are exactly connected. Pay attention to what you hear. One translation says, consider carefully what you hear. Pay attention. Consider carefully. Draw in. Listen. Seek to understand. The measure that you use to pay attention, the measure that you use to dig in and try to understand, the scoop that you use to try to understand what I'm teaching you is the scoop that I'm going to use to dole it out, that the Holy Spirit is going to use to dole it out. The amount that you try to engage with me and understand my teachings, and the amount that you put into that is the way it's going to be poured out onto you. And those of you who dig in and contemplate and meditate and listen are going to get big scoops and have more added. And those of you who say, it's a story about some soil. The little that you have is going to be taken away. It's going to blow away like chaff in the wind because you didn't dig in. You didn't have ears to hear. I see that in my own life, right? I can think of the things that have been really important to me, that I've dug into, that I've loved, and the more you know, the more you learn what you don't know and can learn more. And then I've seen the things in my life where I put very little effort in understanding. Algebra 2 comes to mind. It is gone. I could not do a thing from that class because the measure I used was so small. It's gone. I played the piano probably about the level of Andy. I sure couldn't now. It's gone. We get to determine our own measure by having ears to hear, by the amount that we pay attention, by the amount that we dig in. Isn't it the same today? If the amount that we listen and pay attention to Christ is for an hour on Sunday morning once a week, that's a pretty little measure that we're using. Is the Holy Spirit going to use that same measure for us? If we dig in, if in our prayer life, if in reading the Word, if in having spiritual conversations with others, if we're using a big measure there, I think we're promised that same measure will be used to pour out on us, and the more that we'll understand, the more that we'll grow. So my question for you as we close today is, do you have ears to hear? And I'm pointing it back at me too. Do we have ears to hear? What measure will we use for ourselves? Will you pray with me? Father, as we focus on your word and we do our best to understand what you were teaching people all those years ago and what you are teaching people today, we pray, Lord, that you will reveal your truth to us. If there's things that I've said this morning that are way off base or misinterpretations, Lord, let those blow away. Let no one remember those. But if there's things here that you have revealed, Lord, let that sink in. Help us as a people, as a church, to lean in to your teaching, to pay attention, to listen, to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, we ask these things this morning in your precious and holy name. Amen.